The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Sean Quinn to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Wednesday. We are going to look at three races at Carlisle, hopefully grab a winner or two for you. And we'll also have a quick look at the Betfair Hurdle coming up this weekend. Got some news on a Nicky Henderson runner there. So yeah, we'll move on to that in just a moment. But first things first, hello, Sean Quinn.
Hello, Alex. How are we doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good man.
How are you?
Yes, very well. Very well. Very jovial.
Yeah, you are today.
Yeah. I don't know what's got into me. The sun's shining. Exactly. The sun's shining. I had a clean run into work. Yeah, everything's just gone pretty good. I had an excellent lunch, so I'm feeling like that's fueled me up and...
It's all going well at the minute.
Yeah, I can't complain.
You look very well.
Thank you.
You look great, actually, Sean.
You're too kind.
As I said, we will look at the Betfair Hurdle.
We're going to do that first?
Yeah.
All right.
Front page of the Racing Post today. Michael Buckley, who, of course, owns Rolling Star. Mm. Big headline there. I've seldom heard Nicky so positive. Nicky Henderson, who's generally pretty upbeat about his horses anyway, but has really given a rave review to Rolling Star. And, well, I mean, the form's all there. And I think 8-1 with us at the time of recording has got every chance of going close, particularly if... if he's seriously well, which is what Nicky's described him as.
Yeah, and if you're wanting to back this horse, do back him with us here at William Hill. As you say, 8-1. He's shorter than that in places. Mm. I think he's as short as 6-1 in places. So the 8-1 looks pretty reasonable with William Hill as things stand. Of course, this was the horse that was hyped for the Triumph Hurdle this time last year. He'd beat an Irish Saint in the trials race at Cheltenham at the end of January. He'd beat an Irish Saint comfortably on his UK debut and was sent to the Triumph Hurdle on the back of that run. Now, he didn't disappoint hugely in the Triumph Hurdle. He ran a fair race, but he never looked like winning it, and it was possible that inexperience just caught him out.
Rather bumped into one, though, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing would have beaten the winner, as you say, but the second and the third horses had more experience than him in the Triumph Hurdle last year. He then went to Aintree and was sent off favourite for the 4-year-old anniversary hurdle at Aintree, and disappointed. But as did a lot of horses that went from Cheltenham to Aintree last year. There was a short gap between the two festivals, and it really did catch a lot of horses out. So I'd be willing to forgive him that. And of course, the last time we saw Rolling Star was at Haydock, wasn't it? When he beat a field including Far West, who was disappointing on the day, it must be said. Doily Cart, though, was second. She's a fair mare. He beat them nicely enough, looking in trouble at one point and then ultimately being nicely on top at the line. Nicky Henderson felt that he had him a little bit short going into that race, so it was probably a surprise to them just how nicely he won in the end. And clearly the signals that have been sent out from this stable suggest that he's a good bit fitter this time around, heading into such a big handicap, which of course he'll need to be iron fit, because there'll be no place to hide, and the gallop will be relentless from the drop of the flag to the death. And he's got to be respected, but I think bookmakers have probably got his price about right. And
yeah,
I don't think we're getting massive value about this horse. And you know, he's put it this way: he's not been mooted as a champion hurdle horse as of yet this season, has he? By Nicky Henderson, you know, he's not that the handicap good thing. He's not the grade one horse in a handicap, or seemingly not. So 8-1, I feel looks about right, as yeah. I say.
Okay, at the time of recording, we've got Irish Saint at 6-1. Joint favourite with Irving, who would not really want any rain, would he?
No, Irving is the interesting contender, being a novice, an unbeaten novice thus far in this country. He was a winner of a graded race at Ascot last time out. He's been trained with this race in mind, and he's towards the head of the betting for the Supreme Novices Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. In fact, with us at William Hill, he's 8-1 joint favourite with the Tullow Tank. So, you know, he's clearly a very, very exciting prospect, Irving. This race, novices have a great record in this race, of course, don't they? The last few runnings have gone the way of a novice. I think last year we had My Tent or Yours win it in emphatic fashion. I can't think what won it 2 years ago, but our own Recession Proof won it as a novice 3 years ago. So novices in recent times do have a pretty good record in this race, Alex.
Yeah. As I touched on there, we've got 6-1 for Irish Saint and Irving. 8, Cheltenian, Del Arca, Rolling Star. 12, for Smashing and Vendor. 14s are bigger than the rest. Two runners at 25-1 here, Sean, that you might know a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
Cashmere Peak and Recession Proof. What's the update on them? Will they both be running here, and how are they at home?
Yeah, they're both well. Cashmere Peak, as we saw, he finished second at Wolverhampton on Monday. Whether he'll run in this race, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. He's probably a horse who wants a little bit better ground, and he's been a little bit disappointing this season, so whether he might need to be dropped into an easier race to find his way, I'm not so sure. This does look a very tough ask for him, so I'd say at this stage it's unlikely he'll head there, but of course things could change as the week progresses. Recession Proof, as I said, he won the race for us 3 years ago. He's been plagued by problems since then, but thankfully, touching wood, this year he's been fine, and he's actually had very little luck this season. Last time out, he was running a huge race in the Ascot at Ascot in the Ladbrokes Hurdle when falling four flights from home. That race was won by Willis Saviour. Now, you couldn't have said he'd have won or anything that day, but Brendan Powell Jr. rode him and he felt he'd have been in the mix. Okay. So it was a little bit disappointing that he fell. Whether he's good enough to win a Betfair Hurdle against these young progressive horses, which he of course was 3 years ago, but you know, he was a lot younger then. He's open to debate, but he's in good form with himself at home, and we'll take our chance with him.
Certainly getting back to somewhere near his best.
Yeah, definitely. I think he might land on a decent handicap before the season's out.
Okay, right then, we'll move on to three contests at Carlisle. Taking place on Wednesday, the first that we'll look at is the 150. Novices Hurdle over 2 miles, 1 furlong, 7 runners down to go to post on what you'd think would be pretty testing ground at Carlisle. Sleepy Haven looks a reasonably warm order for the opener here. This race, I should say, was won by Edouard last year at very prohibitive odds, but obviously that is a smart performer. Maybe not anything of that class in this field, but Sleepy Haven very consistent and probably take the beating here.
Yeah, this horse gets the weight for age allowance, being a 4-year-old racing against an older horse. He is the only 4-year-old in the field. Of course, has to carry a penalty as a result of a banger win 3 starts back. He's held his form pretty well actually since then in a Sandown race and a Newbury race, both pretty hot contests. As you say, he's likely to be a warm enough order for this, but I think he's probably opposable here at skinny odds anyway, Alex. The horse that might be overpriced is Lord Brendy, because he comes from a slightly less fashionable stable, that of Robert Johnson's. He's ridden by Kenny Johnson, who's ridden him in all his starts, and I think this horse has plenty of ability, and I think he's getting the hang of things with racing. I certainly think he's you know, he's got the scope to be a decent horse up the north over the coming years. He was a good second at Hexham 2 starts back, and was fourth at Hexham the last time out. Both of those races were okay contests for the track, and given that he seems to be suited by a stiff track, his best form has come at Hexham, as I say. This track here at Carlisle shouldn't be too much of a problem for him. In fact, he should relish the stiff finish at Carlisle. He seems to handle the very testing ground. So I think I'll be playing Lord Brendy here. It's a shame we've only got the 7 runners. Scuppers the each way bet a little bit, but I'd be keeping an eye on the price. And if he were if he were a silly price, I'll definitely be getting involved myself.
Okay. Lord Brendy, who I think it's fair to say received a couple of perhaps slightly questionable rides early on in his career. But certainly is a horse going the right way and has strong claims there in the 150. Next up, the 255. A mare's novices hurdle over 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. 5 runners down to go to post. Not the biggest turnout, but a pretty competitive affair. Only 5 runners, but you struggle to rule any of them out, really.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Tim Easterby had Run Ruction's Run entered at the 5 day stage, but he hasn't run his mare, which probably opens the race up a little bit. And as you say, I don't think you could rule any of these five out absolutely conclusively. We'll start with the top horse, Priomi Queen. This horse, trained by Nicky Richards, is the mount of Dennis O'Regan. She was a winner at Musselburgh. First time up over hurdles back in November. Subsequently disappointed the last twice, although at Newbury, 2 starts back, that was a listed contest, so you know, she probably was just out of her depth, Alex. She'd have to have a squeak. Trucker's Darling represents Don Cantillon. He's booked Kieran Edgar, who will be claiming the £7 off this mare's back. She is a 7-year-old mare by Flemingsfirth. She initially started out racing in point-to-points in Ireland, and since coming over to England has got better with every run, I think it's fair to say. And last time out, her run at Southall represented a career best in a hurdle race. That was the first time she'd stepped up significantly in trip to just over 3 miles. Now she's dropping down in trip to 2 mile, 3.5, and I know the stiff track will suit her, but whether it will just be a touch too short for her remains to be seen. That would be my worry. Conjola is ridden by Richie McGrath. He's riding for Jeff Harker, and this mare has had 3 starts in bumpers and shaped okay. Certainly showed the most last time out at Newcastle. It'd be interesting to see how she takes to hurdling. And the other two, George Moore's representative, La Coco Danza, and Springover, Rivian Duncan's, would have squeaks. But I think this will be fought out between Priomi Queen and Trucker's Darling. And given that Priomi Queen might be effective, or more effective over this shorter trip than Trucker's Darling, I'll side with her.
OK, Nicky Richards horse, the pick there in the 255. The final race that we'll look at is the 330, a novices limited handicap chase. 2 miles the trip, 6 runners down to go to post. Race with quite a nice feel to it here, Sean. Some pretty informed types arriving here. Which one do you like?
I like Clondor Knight. This horse was was officially the highest rated point-to-pointer in Ireland last season. Yeah, that rating came on the back of an impressive win at Inch the season before, 2012, leading into the 2013 season. That came on the back of an impressive win at Inch. She was subsequently bought by Lucinda Russell and owner Sandy Seymour for £140,000 at Doncaster in August of 2012. He was very disappointing in a bumper at Cheltenham first time up, and his hurdles form left a little bit to be desired. But last time out at Kelso, he met with fences for the first time since joining these connections and looked a completely different prospect. Clearly, this horse was just unsuited by the flat racing game in the bumper sphere and jumping small obstacles being hurdles. He jumped very well at Kelso last time out and looks a really nice chaser to go to war with for this team. He's running off a mark of 1.22 here, Alex, and I think he's probably going to shape up into a performer who'll be better than that sort of mark. And I'll be interested in this horse in this event. And I think he's got a big future. So Clondor Knight will be the play for me. But he won't have everything his own way, because he's meeting with some decent rivals, as you mentioned. Supreme Asset has been in good form this season in 3 starts. He's yet to register a win this season, but he's been very consistent. And his last run at Haydock between Christmas and New Year was certainly his best of the of the season. He looked the winner for much of the race that day, just before being ultimately outstayed on very, very testing ground. That was over 2.5 miles. The way he travelled that day suggests that the step back to 2 miles should actually suit him on this stiff track at Carlisle. So I'd definitely add him into the mix. And Mickey Hammond's horse, Alderbrook Lad, is seeking a three-timer here on the back of two wins at Catterick. But I think this will be tougher. As I say, Clondor Knight is the selection here. I think he's one to keep an eye on this afternoon, but also to keep an eye on as we progress later into this season and next season as well.
Mm. Okay, so Clondor Knight, the pick in the 3:30. Great stuff, Sean. Best of luck with all those selections and enjoy all the action on Wednesday.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.